Meanwhile, the podcast from me, Mike Bennett, about what I'm doing when I'm not doing this. So yes, this is indeed a quick episode of Meanwhile, ladies and gentlemen, because as you may have noticed, if you are one of my friends on Facebook, I have now left Facebook. I know. Great Scott. What is the world coming to, really? Mike Bennett leaving Facebook. Whatever next. So yeah, I just wanted to tell you this in case you are one of my friends on Facebook and you've seen that I've disappeared and you don't know what's going on. You know, you think, what's happened? Has Mike unfriended me? No, I haven't. I've left. I've left Facebook, except that I kind of haven't. It's complicated. So what I'm going to try and do now is explain. First off, why have I left? Well, the truth is, I just don't like it anymore. I don't like the way it makes me feel a lot of the time, you know? And the thing is, I didn't realise that it was Facebook that was making me feel the way that I didn't want to feel, if you know what I mean. It's such a part of daily life, isn't it? You know, going onto Facebook. It's become like breathing. You check in, you see what your friends are up to, you know, you say something, you check out, you come back later, you do it all over again, rinse and repeat, on and on through the course of the day until bedtime. And it all adds up to quite a lot of time, doesn't it? That's another problem with it. It's just a great time waste. But if, say, for example, you know, just to go back to that kind of mood thing, if, you know, you're following a thread on Facebook and it's got you particularly engaged because it's making you angry, you know, for whatever reason, that means that not only are you angry when you're engaged on the site, but also you're angry when you're not on the site. You know, you're still feeling angry. Have you ever got into a spat with someone on Facebook and found yourself grinding your teeth while you wait for their reply to your last zinger? That anger is unlike anything that you would normally feel in the offline world, isn't it? It kind of grows inside you without release. It's bottled up, like a bottle full of snakes held over a flame, until the person replies to you, and then it's your turn to reply, and all those angry little snakes, hot snakes at that, can come tumbling out. And while this is all going on, you know, you think, in some part of your brain that's, you know, still acting rationally, what is this? This isn't me. I'm not this person. And the thing is, you're not. We're not. It's not really a natural way to engage with people, is it? I mean, say you and, you know, the same person you're arguing with on Facebook were down the pub or something like that, and the same conversation started and you began to argue. It would take place really quickly. You could see each other's faces. You could hear each other's voice tone. You'd yield ground to one another and make jokes and, you know, you'd take the piss out of each other a bit and then you'd laugh and change the subject and move on to something else. But that doesn't happen like that on Facebook, does it? It can go on and on and on. It can really mess up your day and you can lose sleep over it, going over what you said and what they said and how you could have handled it better and all for what? Some stupid nothing burger. Like, you know, I like the number 6 and you like the number 3. 3 is better. No, 6 is better. 3 is better, you fucking moron. Oh, screw you. Everyone knows 6 is better. Here, look, here's a link to a scientific study that proves it. And so on and so on. It's not a good thing, is it? So anyway, I began to notice that I was often feeling, you know, wound up during the course of the day. I'd be in a sour mood. And don't get me wrong, you know, I don't spend all day arguing with people online. This sort of thing rarely happens to me, but I see it happening in other people's comment threads pretty much every day somewhere or other. And if you go onto Twitter, you could take a box of popcorn with you and watch it going on 24/7. But you don't have to be in a spat with someone or even see one to be brought down by being on social media, as I learned, or rather made the connection with later on when, on Facebook, naturally, I saw a video that a friend had shared by a guy called Jaron Lanier. Now, He's a Silicon Valley guy, very successful. He's an insider, if you will. And he was saying, basically, you know, how social media can really mess with your head in a bad way. I watched the video and suddenly it all made sense, how I was feeling and why I was feeling that way. Yeah, I'm currently reading his book. It's called 10 Arguments for Deleting Your Social Media Accounts Right Now. I'll put a link in the show notes in case you're interested. And yeah, you know, I think he's right. He won me over by the end of his first argument. But as I, you know, I'm going on through the book, it just gets more and more convincing. I started to see the bigger picture, which is kind of weird, really, because the bigger picture is really, really big. For example, have you ever noticed how the world has become so polarized in recent years? People are pro-Trump, anti-Trump, pro-Brexit, anti-Brexit. And those, you know, those two subjects are just to name a couple of the, you know, the most obvious ones that we have in the West. But there are other things, you know, that people are raging about across the world, hating each other, even killing each other. And when we see or read these rage-triggering posts, because we do see and read them, because Facebook funnels them right at us, they just make us angrier and angrier. And this can, obviously, lead you into conflict with friends on Facebook, spats that you can't just have a laugh about and move on, things that really spoil your day and can lead you to unfriending one another and never talking again online or off. Now, I can't quote from Lanier's book because I don't have, you know, permission to do so, but he says at one point, basically, social media isn't to the left or the right. It only has one direction, downward. It thrives on negativity. It's the algorithms that's the crux of all this. They show you more of what you like or click on. For example, you might like something a friend shares, say, from a centre-right or centre-left news source. And so the algorithms will send you more of that. But also, and this is the, you know, this is the thing, this is the kicker, more of what other people who have liked that post and posts like it also like, if you see what I mean. Consequently, because you like that, you might find yourself seeing other things, just appearing magically in your feed that are further to the right or the left than perhaps you would naturally be. And if you like those, then you'll probably also like this stuff too, which is even further to the extremes. The algorithms, apparently, just don't care. They don't see the nature of the content, whether it's true or not, whether it's dangerous or not. They only know that people who liked this liked that. And, of course, this is all driven by advertising. It's not a fun activity for the algorithms that they just like to do every day. They're designed to do it. And to see how we respond to the advertisements that are placed around these posts. Do you, for example, click on an ad for a certain product tailored to you based on your browsing history after seeing a post from a certain news source that you've liked? I don't know, maybe you saw a political post that made you furious and you engaged with it. Maybe you clicked an angry face emoji or something. And then a moment later, you've seen an ad for heartburn medicine. And you think, hey, funnily enough, I have heartburn right now. The example Lanier gives in the book is you see a picture of a cat and the algorithms know you like cats. They make you happy. Then 2 seconds later, you scroll onto an ad for something like socks. Do you click it? Maybe next time it'll take 3 seconds or four. We'll experiment and see. Now, as I say, I haven't finished the book, but that was enough for me. I was already ready to leave Facebook, but when I read this, it was the nail in the coffin. I was gone. Or at least, you know, I sort of am. Because due to me being a podcaster, author, whatever you want to call it, I kind of can't leave Facebook. I've tried to leave before, but it's not so easy if you're a public figure, which I know sounds, you know, it's true. In a small way, I am a public figure. And like pretty much all public figures, I have a Facebook page. Now, a Facebook page isn't to be confused with a Facebook profile. A page is one of those things that public figures, celebrities, businesses, bands, TV shows, etc. have on Facebook. and which everyone can then like and follow for news and updates. So a page then is distinct from a personal Facebook profile, which is where you and I, the general day-to-day users of the platform, log in every day and do our posting and sharing and updating, etc., etc. Now, anyone can have a Facebook page. You know, you don't have to apply for it or anything. If you've got something that you want to sort of flog, for example, you can have one. But first, in order to get one, you have to have a Facebook profile. So you see my problem? To have a page, you need a profile. And then, once you have your page, you operate it on a day-to-day basis from your personal profile. It's not a distinct Facebook entity that you can like log into. It's a thing that branches off from your personal profile. And I also have a Facebook group too, which I mentioned a minute ago, called The Sect, on which I chat with members. And of course, I have to moderate it, you know, as the group owner. I decide who gets in and who doesn't. I screen members' posts before they're published in case they breach group rules, etc. And every once in a blue moon, unfortunately, I have to kick someone out because they breach those rules in a really bad way. But that almost never happens because everybody's so nice there, which is nice. But yes, guess what happens then when I leave Facebook? That's right. All that stuff suddenly is abandoned. They become like ships at sea with suddenly vanished crews. And this is what happened the first time that I left Facebook. I was only planning on being away for a short spell, but my wife, who remained on the platform, told me that people were becoming worried in the group and on the pages that maybe something had happened to me since I, you know, hadn't told anybody I was leaving Facebook, which was probably not too clever. But I was honestly surprised. I just hadn't thought that they would. Or rather, I didn't think. I don't know what I thought. I just thought, I'm just going to leave Facebook for a bit because I'm fed up with it. And I kind of forgot that all that stuff was connected. All right, call me idiot.
You idiot.
Thank you. But people were commenting in the group and they were not hearing back from me. And so they were, you know, seeking my personal profile page, and that had vanished. And they were asking one another in the groups and on the page and whatnot. What's going on? Where's Mike Bennett? Is he dead? What's happened? Should we be concerned? So I had to go back onto Facebook and make, you know, a quick tour of my group and pages where concern had been expressed and apologise for the confusion I'd caused. So after that, then, I stayed on the site for another year or so. And then that, you know, that same old feeling of Facebook weariness began to grow again, and I wanted to leave. But I couldn't go. How could I operate my pages and my group if I did? Should I get a fan to run them? Surely that's a simple solution, isn't it? You know, just get a fan to run the page. No, because if I did that, they would then be in the position of speaking as me from behind my identity with my face and so on. They would also have the power, if they were a mad psycho Bond villain type, to ensure that I never regained control of the pages or the group ever again, because they could delete me and block me if they chose to do so. Oh, so no, that's not a good idea, is it? Only someone I trust implicitly could operate this stuff in my stead. So who? My wife? No, she didn't want the responsibility of speaking as me from behind my identity. What if she said something wrong? That, and of course, you know, she's got her own life and concerns to be getting on with. So, how, then, did I do it? How did I get round the desire to get the flip off of Facebook whilst at the same time staying on it in order to operate my social pages and group? Well, I did the only thing I could. I started another Facebook profile. What, says you? But what about all that stuff about algorithms and falling out with people? Ah, yes, well, you see, there's a simple solution to all that, and it is, don't have any friends on your new profile with whom to interact. Only use it to respond to my pages and my group, in which nobody ever posts anything inflammatory. and leave your, you know, your whole Facebook presence at that. And it just occurs to me, actually, that the fact that these places are free of inflammatory stuff is one of the reasons, I think, that maybe you and I and others listening to this podcast like to go there, because it's one of the things on Facebook that doesn't make you angry, hopefully. So, yeah, that's basically where I am now. My old personal Facebook profile is now deactivated, and I have no plans to reactivate it again. But the Facebook group, the sect, is still active and monitored by me, as are the pages, Mike Bennett, Underwood and Finch, etc., etc. And you can contact me or chat or whatever you like via those. Or, of course, Patreon, which, if you're on Patreon, is always a sensible choice. I operate these pages and the group now via my new friendless personal profile, which, should you ever see it, perhaps in, you know, there's a list of suggested friends that Facebook throws at you. Don't think this is my old profile with a new profile picture and that I've unfriended you, because I haven't. And also, don't send that profile a friend request, because I'm not accepting friend requests, you know, at it. As I say, it's nothing personal. I'm not rejecting you personally. It's just a friendless profile, because if you start accepting friends, then before you know it, you're interacting with them. And then Facebook is saying, hey, if you like that, you might like this. And, you know, and down the jolly old anger rabbit hole you go. So no, no friends for me, thank you. And I mean that in the friendliest way possible. And so, yes, that's where I am. As always, it's taken me a very long time to explain something that's probably pretty straightforward. But, you know, I like to cover everything, you know, leave no stone of possible incomprehension unturned. Okay, that's it then. That's my meanwhile stuff at this meanwhile moment in time. Now I have to get back to what I should be doing when I'm not doing this, and that is, of course, writing. Namely, writing the next episode of Underwood and Finch Legion, coming soon, hmm? But from me for now then, it's pip pip and cheerio. P.S. I'm still on Twitter, but I don't really use that very much. And Instagram, which I use even less. I mean, you know, what am I going to take a photograph of? Me? Don't be absurd. And, sorry, last thing. Music on the podcast, ladies and gentlemen, came from Andrew Rothman. You can find out more at arothman.com. Easy.
MikeBennettPodcast.com.